There is a line and a scene in the great musical, The Lion King. Anybody who's ever witnessed that wonderful performance, either on Broadway or somewhere else, remember this scene and this line in that great musical. Little Simba has run away from the jungle, trying to deal with the death of his father, Mufasa. And the voice of wisdom is Rafiki, the monkey. Sometimes a stone rejected by the builder becomes a cornerstone. We think of monkeys as being stupid, ignorant. But it's Rafiki that says to Simba, "You don't know who you are." And leads him on this wonderful journey to see the very reflection of his father, Mufasa. And Mufasa says, "Simba, remember who you are. You are my son. You've forgotten who you are. Simba, remember who you are." Every time I think about that, there's so much theology and spirituality stuffed in that statement. Remember who you are. Yes. And many of us have forgotten in the journey of life just who we are. Let's go to work this morning on that second reading proclaimed so well by this child of God. You see, the church throughout this Easter season, because Easter and resurrection is a season that the church celebrates. For some, it's a day. That day, 3 weeks ago, when folks got dressed up and found somebody's church to go to the parade around. But for us, we are an Easter people. And the dying and the rising of Christ is who we are. And we celebrate that every Sunday. Yes. Because every Sunday is once again a chance to celebrate the resurrection of Christ. Amen. And so the church is trying to unpack, understand, what does this mean? Because Jesus died and rose again, it's changed everything. Who knows about that change that's come over us if we know that we know Christ? It's not just those who were baptized in Christ on Resurrection Day. All of us should experience a marvelous, wonderful change should come over us. I know I ain't what I should be. I know I ain't what I'm gonna be, but thank God I ain't what I used to be. You see, that should be our song, to understand the change that should take place in our lives. And one thing that St. John says today in John, the letter of John, not the gospel, the letter of John 3, just 1 to 2. He says, "See what love the Father bestows on us that lets us be called the children of God. Because of Christ, we are now the adopted daughters and sons of God." It's changed everything because Jesus rose from the dead and gives a new relationship we have with our God. Y'all with me?
Yes.
You see, and he says, "And so we are, beloved. We are God's children now."
Yes.
Meaning, because of the resurrection, because what Jesus did on Calvary, we have a new relationship with our God and each other. And if you know that you are God's child, if you truly know that, and not just in here, but the way you behave yourself, it changes everything. If you know you are God's beloved, that God woke you up this morning that God has given you grace and mercy. When God made you, God was having a very good day because you are special. You are blessed in God's sight. That's not arrogant. That's just truth. I say it all the time. My parents had 8 children, and they saved the best for last. Nothing against Trudy and Michael and Vance and Tommy and Alice and George and Michael, but they had me. 8 pounds and 9 ounces of me. God bless my mother at 42 years old. But she always said, boy, you special. But see, I don't believe in negativity. It meant I was blessed. I was special. And I was. And I am. But if I know that, and I don't forget that, it changes how I relate. In fact, sin can be described as forgetting who you are. Forgetting the dignity, the grace that God has poured into your life. Especially those of us baptized in Christ. When God called you and you took that walk to freedom to the font as a child or an adult, a change came over you. God placed a tattoo on your heart far greater than man's ink. Folks tat themselves all the time. That's nothing compared to the tattoo God placed on you that said, you're my son, you're my daughter. You can see, folks don't know, tattoos come from a time when the owner would place his name on the property he owned, a horse, a mule, a person. And if my mule got away, it went from the Johnson plantation down to the Smith plantation. Oh, Mr. Smith, better bring my horse back. That belongs to me. Same thing, but more even intense. You get away. You get lost. You find yourself down a wrong road. Someone looks at you and says, ah, she belongs to God. Belong to God. You're in the wrong place at the wrong time. You belong to, gotta get out of here. Y'all with me? You see, church, if I know I'm a child of God, it affects the way I behave myself. Today is Earth Day. It's a good time for us to pause and to think about how we behave on this wonderful planet that God gave us. Yes. Pope Francis has said, the way we treat the earth is a reflection of what we think of ourselves and God. How can we say Black Lives Matter, and they do, and allow ourselves to live in the blight and the trash and the mess in our communities? I'm not sure about you, but where I grew up on Venango Street, on Saturday morning, folks would get out there with their brooms and their Clorox and their spick and span, and they would wash the streets. And the older folks had no problem saying, you better pick that up. Don't do that. I didn't have graffiti on my street or trash. You were told about who we were, what it meant to be community, what it meant to love and support each other. It was what formed my dignity as a black man from a row home in North Philly. I didn't grow up on the main line. I didn't grow up in Chestnut Hill or Society Hill. I grew up in North Philadelphia. But I was taught how to behave myself in creation. How we treat the earth is a reflection of what we think of ourselves and of our God. My first summer here, long time ago, maybe too long, I was planting flowers right outside. And I'll never forget the scene. I was dressed in shorts, so didn't know I was the pastor. My brother said, "I don't know why you're doing that." I said, "Excuse me? You heard what I said? This the hood, man. We don't put flowers out." And I bet you, before the night's over, they're gonna be gone. I said, "Well, sir, we do put flowers in this hood. If you dare touch them, I'll put them back the next day." You see, there he goes again. Father Thorne think he's better than somebody else. There he goes again, Father Thorne trying to be, no. God deserves flowers. My people deserve flowers. I deserve flowers. Not because of arrogance, because of who we are. And maybe a little bit of creation, a little bit of beauty, a little bit of color might make us all more human. You go home today, count the flower beds on Lehigh Avenue. And we wonder why violence, disrespect reigns in our community. They're all connected. They're all cousins. If we know that we are God's child, and we know the shepherd knows us by name, as Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I don't work for money. I work for mission." Yes. And you're on mission. Your behavior is very different. If I work for money, when the bell rings, I'm going home. If I'm working for money, you better give me what you owe me for that hour we work. I'm so glad my Jesus works for mission. I'm so glad my Jesus does not go home at 5 o'clock when the bell and punches out. He's an on-time God. I might call him at 9 o'clock and he answers the phone. I might call him at 2 o'clock in the morning and he's there. That's the God I serve. My Father knows me. I know my Father. Relationship. It's all about relationships. And when you see holy relationships, husband and wife and children, a respect for each other, you see God. When you see friends and partners work and love and serve each other, and not just, "What can I get out of you?" A young lady came to my chaplain office at Newman and said, "Father Thorne, my boyfriend is pressuring me to have sex." That's not love. That's not love. In fact, delete, delete, delete his number in the name of Jesus. Because someone is pressuring you to do something. It's not love. Relationships with Mother Earth, with each other, and ourselves. I can't tell you how many times I heard about marijuana this past Friday. Someone sent me a text saying, you know it's 4:20. I said, no, actually it's 4:15. I get the fact that some people have been criminalized more than others when it comes to possession and distribution of marijuana. I get that. But why have we become so fascinated with smoking? Y'all getting quiet now. It's not just on college campuses, in our high schools. Why have we become so, so fascinated with that? For a lot of reasons, but for your health. Putting smoke. I know a lady who's been smoking since high school, who was told, if you don't stop, you don't have much more time left. What are we saying to our little ones? We had that habit in our home. What are we saying about ourselves as a child of God? We have habits like that that we know clearly with research and data is so bad for us. And we become, because I smell it on the corner where I live. Having smoke, don't smoke, won't smoke. The same thing we put in our body. We had a health fair yesterday, our deltas. Simple things about how we prepare our foods. I'm not trying to be a trainer or a life coach. I'm trying to be a pastor today, church. Yeah. You see, if I know I'm a child of God, I'm not putting that stuff in my body, because my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. So all of us, whether it's smoking weed or eating fried chicken at Popeyes, I'll look to the sky, not to condemn anybody. Did I get a two-piece? What's your size? Oh yeah, and a sweet tea. Double. And you wonder why you got diabetes, cholesterol, heart issues. Can I get a two-piece? What's your size? Fat and more fat. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. And don't ever forget that. Because once you know who you are, and once you're part of the flock of the Good Shepherd, it changes how you behave. Would that manager at Starbucks at 18th and Spruce in Rittenhouse Square. You gotta say it like that, Rittenhouse Square. Because church, it would not have been the same reaction in other parts of the city. Don't get it twisted. All Rashawn and Dante were doing was the same thing that thousands of people do throughout this nation every day. Starbucks has put a brand, a culture of hanging out, using their facilities and their resources. Would that manager, I want to know what that manager's name is, would that manager had just paused?
Yes.
You see, we live in this culture where we want immediate. The very thing that Starbucks sells and we go there for, immediate. I can't wait to get my Wi-Fi. I gotta get it now. It was what led her down the road of suspect. of suspect. Did she see two brothers of God, of Christ? But did she see two black men with sweatsuits on with beards? And twisties in Rittenhouse Square? What do you see? Because sometimes it's easy to say, oh, that's terrible. But do we profile as well?
Come on,
Pastor. We profile. Come on here. Come here. You two, come here. St. Joe's Prep. Malvern Prep. Now, dressed up in suits and ties, I'm proud of them. I don't mind you sitting beside me on the train. And you're dressed in robes of service in the church. But take that off and put on some Tims and some sneakers or some sweatpants. Are they anything more than two black thugs? What do you see? I see children of God.
Amen.
I see my sons. I see goodness. What do you see? What do you see? Because if I don't know who I am, I could just quickly like that, as an OG, with my degrees, with my car, and all my status of privilege, could become very much like the Starbucks manager at Rittenhouse Square. Can we see, take your seats, gentlemen, can we see in each other the face of God? He said it. John wrote it. We are God's children now. But later what we shall be has not been revealed. We know what it is revealed. We shall be like God. We shall see God face to face. Never forget who you are. You are God's daughter. You are God's son. And if we begin to live together that reality, we can make our world the way God designs it to be. Before the announcements this morning, I just want to just offer a word of gratitude to, we had a wonderful day yesterday. We had the health fair, as I mentioned. The Delta Sigma Theta Quaker City chapter had a wonderful health fair for our people. So very happy to have that event. I want to thank Arlette George for helping to coordinate that. So thank you so much for all those who were part of that yesterday. Also, we were here last evening for the choir competition. It was beautiful, wonderful celebration. So anybody part of that committee, will you please stand? Oh, Ed's there. Anybody else part of the committee, you stand. We might acknowledge those who worked very, very hard on that choir competition. Wonderful day. I know it's in the announcements, but I want to just give a special emphasis that this Saturday, we're going to St. Catherine of Siena in Wayne. It's our annual pilgrimage or visit to their parish, our sister parish. And so please sign up. The bus got about 7 people, so we have a whole bus ordered. So it's mass, and it's a beautiful dinner they prepare for us. And they are very good to us in our school in many ways. We want to certainly show our gratitude, and I'll be there next Saturday for mass, and our choir will be as well. So please join us for that event as well. We had first penance today. I know that the guys, we have 4 boys this year, first Holy Communion. They're around somewhere, different parts of the church. Where are they? There we go. Okay, good. So in 2 weeks, we have first Holy Communion. We have 4 boys this year, so it's a guy thing. So it'll be a fun day, first Holy Communion. They had their first confession today. It was very, very beautiful. And I'm very grateful to all those who helped prepare our boys for that sacrament today. Again, and finally, a word about finance.
My mom always taught me when you see something, you always are called to check your own self and make sure it's an opportunity for you to make sure you're doing what's right. And so I just want to give a word about our finances, that we're very, very blessed here at St. Martin de Porres Catholic Church to be very transparent and very honest about our money. We don't get a whole lot of money, but what does come in, I would say by within a couple of hours, is deposited. I don't touch it. I don't have anything to do with it outside of giving to it, okay? I'm a pastor who gives in the collection because I'm a parishioner of this church. And our money is straight. Our money is correct in terms of where we stand financially. And that's only to say that because you need to know, because sometimes we forget, when you give in the collection, as I give in the collection, it's a spiritual offering. It is a sacrificial offering to God. And one of the responsibilities a pastor has is to make sure that people's spiritual offering is accounted and used for the proper reason. I'm a lot of things, and I'm not perfect, but I've always used people's money for the right reason. Amen. And so it's important. It's very, very important that you understand that. And as you give and keep giving, because we must continue to build God's kingdom here. And that takes funds. And I want to thank our finance council, our parish council, who helped keep me grounded and keep me focused, no matter who the pastor is. It is our money to glorify God. Amen? But I do want to just say something quickly. On Father's Day, we have a Father's Day men's breakfast that's just for men. Okay? And we've done that. I want to qualify something. We've done that for ever since I've been pastor here. And the purpose of it is for us as men to come together for fellowship and for time together and hear a word. It's the same thing we do for the ladies. Okay? This idea came really from Sister and I. We wanted to lift up and empower women. Men are not allowed to come that day, even myself. Okay? But I asked Patty to come here. She says, "Why are you calling me? You're a man." She said, "If it's a woman's empowerment day, the women need to lead this." And I backed away. Okay? So it is not meant to slight our men. Okay? It's meant to lift up our ladies. Okay? And so that event is only for women. Okay, no boys, no young men. It's just ladies that day. And of course, we always want to balance it out with our men. So it's meant to be a day for ladies too, because you got some work to do, women. And I can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. And Sister Patty, I can't think of anybody better who knows our community, who knows the issues, and she's going to come at you strong, as she should. And so it's for all women, older ladies, young ladies, to come, to be empowered that day, and it's for us to lift up our sisters and our mothers. Amen? Amen. As we celebrate Mother's Day the next day. So I just want to make that clear. And so, guys, you ain't coming that day, all right? And so it's meant for ladies, for them to be lifted up, to be indeed the children of God that they are. And sometimes we don't recognize the gifts of women. Amen? Amen. I get amen to that? Amen. Okay. Let's stand now for our final blessing today. It's time to go. Let's bow our heads. Good and gracious God, that glory that we sang today has risen among us today. We praise you and thank you today because you are worthy to be praised. Help us not just to hear that charge today that we are God's child, but to live it. No matter what happens this week, Lord, that we always remember we heard today, we are your child. And no weapon formed against us can prosper. We're not afraid of anything, Lord, because we know you are before us, behind us, above us, and below us. And so we go forth today in peace and justice. May Almighty God bless you, church, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go in peace.
Thanks be to God.